You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He's Anthony Pusick. How are you, Anthony? Everything good?
Oh, it's a Friday, Don. What could be better?
It's a Friday. Weather's going to be crappy, but, you know, we're still in that kind of, is it winter? Is it spring? What's going on here? But I'll tell you what, the hockey's heating up. Just some phenomenal stuff last night. Where to begin? Because there's like so many. I really felt like defining moments last night in the season, both positive and negative. I'm gonna surprise you where I'm gonna start.
Okay.
I'm gonna start in Nashville. I mean, this is pretty sick what's going on here with the Predators. All they did was walk into Florida, shut the Panthers out. Now the Panthers have lost three in a row after having winning 7 of 8, and they were the hottest team in the league, and they caught a break with Boston losing to the Rangers. We'll get into that in just a second, but you know, I know we've kind of felt like, oh, you know, Nashville's a nice story, and it looks like they're going to make the playoffs, but I don't know if they're going to be any threat atop the conference. But at what point do you start looking at this and going, you know what, man, this is kind of scary what this team's been able to put together. What, 16 straight games without a loss? They're just, Forsberg's been hot. You know, he's got 38 goals, Anthony.
Isn't that amazing?
I was kind of surprised, but like, I know he's had a nice year, but I was recapping things, and you know what I do? I write down all the goal scorers for the games. I'm like, oh, 37, 38 goals. He's going to finish with over 40 goals, and I didn't think about it until just this second. I mean, when was the last time a Predator scored over 40? You know, so pretty good stuff happening there in Nashville. They sit, you know, comfortably in that second wild card spot, 5 points ahead of Vegas, and you know, and dare I even like consider the possibility that they can be any kind of a threat to Dallas? They sit there. Dallas has 93, so probably not. You're 7 points back with 12 to play, so they're probably still stuck there in the wild card. But are they changing hearts and minds down in Music City?
If they're not, they should be. I mean, this is pretty unbelievable what they've managed to accomplish here. In November, you thought that the West was set down. We all kind of had an agreement that we kind of thought, all right, there's a couple teams here that have a chance to make some noise here. I don't think any of us predicted Nashville. I was saying UC Soros was going to get traded based on the way that they were playing, and that's just not the case. They answered the bell. They didn't go to the Sphere in Las Vegas, and I'm not saying that that's the reason, but I think that not going to the Sphere, but the statement of not going to the Sphere, they were going to go out to Vegas early, and they were going to, you know, hang out, have a good time, you know, do the normal thing that you do when you're on the road and have some time off. But whether it was Barry Trotz or the coaching staff, they said, no, this team needs to focus. We need to get ourselves situated here. We're not playing well. No fun, essentially. Right. Nobody gets to have any fun. And they answered the bell. They beat Vegas. And since then, they've been on a roll. They haven't lost very often. They're great on the road, 22-10-3. That's a team now. And I know I said Vegas was scary. As a wild card team, Nashville's a pretty dangerous team. You know, they're doing it in a ton of different ways. You mentioned Forsberg, but they have scoring up and down the lineup, kind of help from everybody. There's not like those three or four guys that you could pinpoint and say those are the main key guys.
Right.
Everybody's contributing. You know that Soros is a world-class goaltender, and that's huge. You have Yossi at the back end on that defense, and that can only help them because of how good he is. They're scary, and it's definitely, I mean, you know, it's a story. It's been a story, but it's definitely something to start considering where we kind of brushed off, all right, the wild cards, what are you going to do? We don't see this being any much of a threat. Nashville plays like this. They get on a stretch like this. They can win a 7-game series against almost anybody.
Yeah, they really could, and everybody talks about, well, I don't want to play Vegas. I don't know if you want any piece of Nashville at this point either, so give the Predators credit. Sticking out west, Oilers put a thumping on the Sabres, 8-3, so we can put the Sabres to bed.
Yeah, Connor
McDavid, 4 points. So here's Connor McDavid sitting with 112 points.
Is that all?
You know, he doesn't have the goal production that he had last year, but he still has 112 points. And we've talked about this before, 962 points. I mean, this guy sometime very early next year. And at this rate, who knows, maybe this season is going to have 1,000 points in the NHL pretty crazy.
Zach Hyman has 48 goals.
It really is crazy. I mean, he's got all the goals that I guess McDavid scored last year. But, you know, yeah, that's the thing. It's not just about McDavid and Draisaitl anymore. You know, you throw a Hyman into the mix there. We know what Kane can do. So they're a little bit more broader, I think, than they've been in recent years. They're getting much better goaltending than they have in recent years as well. 8 points back of Vancouver, but with three games in hand. Vancouver did take care of business, beating Montreal last night.
They've kind of turned it around a little bit.
They have. So I don't think Edmonton can catch Vancouver, but they're pretty comfortably in second place over, you know, right now Los Angeles, and at least they've kind of guaranteed themselves home ice in that first round matchup with the Kings or the Golden Knights in the first round. So I don't know how imperative it is to win that division, but, you know, still, Vegas slips up at all the way Edmonton's playing, I guess the Pacific could still be up for grabs.
Well, look, I mean, Edmonton's been fantastic at home this year. They're 23-8-3, so if they do get that two spot, which it looks like they will, dangerous team in Edmonton, and then they don't have a terrible record on the road, 19-13-1, so all you got to do is steal one game on the road, and you're pretty much in the driver's seat if you take care of business at home. I think Vancouver will not get caught. I know that they slipped up, and look at this, Don, they still have an 8-point lead. I know that there's a three games in hand for Edmonton, but we've seen Edmonton be streaky this year, clearly. I think Vancouver has kind of handled this swoon pretty well. I think they're out of it now, and I know we're going to get to it later. I have 6 crossouts in my top five. I couldn't figure it out because of how good some teams are playing and where I think certain teams slot in. It's a race at the top right now for that President's Trophy, the East and the West, getting very interesting in what could be in store. And just so many games yesterday having impacts on not only just the President's Trophy, but all the playoff races.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time of year in general, but I feel like with all the parity that this year has given us, every night there's at least one or two must-watch games that could have major implications for the playoffs.
And, you know, Winnipeg messed up their games in hand situation by losing to the Devils 4-1.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, the interesting thing about this game, you know, I'll give the Devils credit. They beat Pittsburgh, and now they beat the Jets. So they're trying to keep their very, very slim playoff hopes alive as they sit 6 points back of Detroit. Both teams have 70 games played, so I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, still reason for them to be engaged. They give up 40 shots. And, you know, watching them on Tuesday, they were just such a great team defensively. And I think I mentioned to you on Wednesday when we did the podcast that, you know, talking to some of the people around the Jets, they put so much on that Ranger game because it's been such a long time since they beat a playoff team.
Think it was a look ahead for them here?
And I don't know what they were looking ahead to. I mean, what, they got the Islanders next? But I just feel like maybe they just left it all on the ice on Tuesday because that was just a brutal no-show. It wasn't like they should be that exhausted. They, you know, they played Sunday, they played Tuesday, Thursday. They had days off. They're doing what all these Western teams do, Anthony, in New York, is when they've got the Rangers, Devils, Islanders in succession, they stay in the same hotel. So, like, there's really very minimal travel. They're not bouncing around. So it looks to me like they just mailed it in. You know, they shouldn't be giving up 40 shots to anybody. And they end up losing 4-1. They're still in that, you know, three-way tie in the Central Division with Dallas and Colorado. And they missed an opportunity last night to create some separation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what's interesting for this Devil team, Don, is the reason that they traded for Jake Allen and the San Jose goalie, Kakanen, was to see if either of them can latch on and possibly be a factor going forward for this team. And Jake Allen's played very nicely for this Devils team. They don't have, as we know, their full defensive core with Hamilton out. But Jake Allen, I'm not going to say he's stealing games for them, but he's playing well. And that's something that you can't say for very long. Nico Daws had a little bit of a run at some point. And the other goalies that the Devils have used this year have kind of had their ups and downs, but Jake Allen's been a major reason why the Devils have even been able to stay in some of these games down the stretch here. And that's nice to see if you're a Devil fan, knowing that, hey, at least I have a decent backup next year. I don't think Jake Allen's going to be your starter. I think you're going to be fishing in bigger ponds to get your starter. But if Jake Allen can provide you a game against a team like the Jets where you can win 4-1 at home, that's not bad at all.
No, it's not. So that was an interesting development out at the Rock. Rangers beat the Bruins. Kind of odd. You know, the Boston's the best team in the NHL, according to the points. And yet the Rangers beat them all three times they played them. Watching Boston as much as I have, you know, clearly they're going to miss Krejci and they're going to miss Bergeron. I think that's going to show. Coyle has made up the gap. So
Rangers have done a pretty good job this year, all year, handling them.
Yeah, and I think the major reason for it is the Rangers are just quicker. I mean, Boston's not a quick team by any stretch. I mean, they're a dirty, grinded-out team, which you would think would be very dangerous in the playoffs, and they have exceptional goaltending. But, you know, you shut down Pasternak, and they're going to struggle to get goals. You know, they just are. I mean, you look at the goals that they scored yesterday, and they were kind of just like dirty, you know, grinded-out kind of... down low, grab some rebounds. That, you know, that kind of stuff that they do. They're not a, you know, not a coast to coast team. They're not a tic tac toe team. They're just going to have to work to get everything they need, which is a good thing because I think that's how you win in the playoffs. But when you look at the Rangers, they're just more skilled. They have more skill players. They can overwhelm you. And I really thought that was an interesting win, considering, you know, how big a week this has been for the Rangers. They're playing without their top two defensemen. Jonathan Quick's in net. The fourth straight game in which the Rangers allowed the first goal. And yet, you know, Panarin stole the show, because I think that can be what could be the difference factor is. Is like I said, Pasternak is the only guy I think on that team that can will a team to victory and steal something. But the Rangers have a couple of guys, but Panarin is every bit the talent that a Kucherov is. Maybe not quite to the McDavid, but he's going to finish with over 100 points and probably should get a lot more consideration for the Hart Trophy than he will. And I thought that was a really good win for the Rangers, and it was just interesting to see where Boston is going to get their secondary and tertiary scoring. Is Coyle going to be able to carry them? Is DeBrusk going to be able to carry them? Will they get enough from Carlo and McAvoy on the blue line offensively? It hasn't really been a problem this year, but I just think in a best of seven series, it can be kind of scary for Boston when they go up against a team with a lot of firepower. So they're really going to be relying on their goaltending and Pasternak to get the job done.
Yeah, look, that's always a concern for a top-heavy team. They're not as deep as they used to be. I like Boston. I mean, I know it ended up being 5-2, but that game was very close for quite a long time yesterday.
Well, they were tied in the third,
right? Yeah, tied in the third. They're pesky defensively still, even though they don't have the face-off ability that they have had in years past with no Krejci, no Bergeron, as you've mentioned. They currently have 97 points, and that's good enough to be in the President's Trophy, to have the President's Trophy, I should say. And, of course, we'll see what happens when Florida makes up their games, but they're 6-3-1 in their last 10. They've kind of gotten out of that rut where they were like, you know, what was it, 3-5-2 in their last 10. Like they had a lot of losses and a lot of OT losses. They have 15 overtime loss points this year. But I looked at a Boston team yesterday that was game for sure. But really just the story for me on that game was just how amazing Artemi Panarin is. I didn't really remember Jágr playing with the Rangers as much. It was obviously he had that amazing year where he probably should have won the Hart and he didn't. Artemi Panarin is probably the most skilled Rangers forward I've ever seen play for this consistent of a time on this team. He's an unbelievable signing. He might go down as one of the best Rangers forwards of all time. I don't think that's hyperbole. Just take a look at the things that he's doing with the 40-goal seasons, and he's going to probably reach 100 points this year, and that is a plateau that not many forwards, let alone Rangers players, have reached in the National Hockey League with the Rangers. He just makes everybody around him better. He seems like he has eyes in the back of his head. He knows how to... You can clearly see Lafreniere has confidence as a result of being with him. Trocheck and him have great chemistry. That line has been one of the best lines in hockey all year. He's a major reason for it. And for him now, hopefully, for him to cap off such a great season, he's got to perform in the playoffs. And this year seems different. He seems like he's confident. He seems like he's not doing as much fancy stuff. You see that first goal he got done? He was hounding a puck in the middle of the ice, in the middle, between the circles. It gets away from one of the Bruins, and then he just puts it between Swayman's legs on a forecheck. He's done a lot more forechecking this year. I guess Laviolette's having him buy into that. He's just been unbelievable for this team. Yeah. You say what they do without Trocheck, of course, but without Panarin, this team would be in much worse shape.
Well, that's going to be the question. What can he do in the postseason? But he's already had a career high in goals. He's got a career high in points. He's never had more than 96 points in a season. He now has 97. So he's on his way to becoming the first Ranger to have 100 points since Jaromír Jágr in 05-06.
Exactly.
So it's been a long, long time. So, yeah, Panarin, terrific in the game. I thought Fox was super. That goal was absolutely gorgeous. Coming, 40 seconds after Boston had tied the game from this Justin Brazeau, who's a really nice young player.
They like him
young. He's 24. So he's like a career minor leaguer getting his chance. He's got four goals and, 6-7 points. points in 14 games. So he's been like a nice addition for Boston. I thought he was really good last night.
He took some shifts with Marchand last night
when it was all said and done.
Jim Montgomery trusts him.
Yeah, they absolutely do. So, listen, Boston's still terrific. It's just one of those things, right? I mean, the Rangers are going to play Florida on Saturday.
Big game.
They haven't beaten, and yet they've beaten all three times that they've played Boston.
I'll be there.
Kind of strange. You're going?
I'm going.
All right. Well, I don't think we've ever been in the Garden at the same time. Are we calling the game?
Well, technically, we may have met at the time. I'm sure at some point we met.
Since we've been doing this, how about that? That we haven't had a chance to do it in a long time. So I'm looking forward to seeing you, hanging out. It's 8 o'clock start's not ideal for old people like me, but no, it should be fun. It's going to be on ABC, and you got the Knicks earlier in the day against the Nets, and you know a lot going on in New York. I thought that was a pretty good game.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And the Rangers need to win it because Carolina gets the job done against a game Philadelphia team. Konecki scored late to tie it, sends it to overtime, and then probably one of the more underrated players in the league. I always talk about Kyle Connor in Winnipeg, but you know Seth Jarvis is having a terrific season. His 26th goal in overtime as Carolina gets the 2 points, and they stay 2 points back of the Rangers.
And Sean Couturier was back in the lineup, right?
No, you'd be wrong.
No.
And Doobie continues to go after him, too, the former Ranger, Brandon Dubinsky. But
he was one of my favorite Rangers.
No, he was a great guy, too, a fun guy. He had some big goals for them, but you know, obviously wasn't on the same page with Torts, and he's not letting it go.
That could happen.
But hey, listen, it's a point on the road for Philly. I mean, I know we sound like Tortorella apologists, but you know what? He didn't play, and you know they go up against one of the best teams in the NHL in Carolina, and they got a point. So with Couturier out of the lineup, they got 3 points of a possible four in the two games he's been out, and they continue to stay in third place. So good for Carolina. They're not going away. Carolina reminds me a lot of like Boston, where they're not, except they don't have a Pasternak, but they kind of rely on a bunch of different guys to score for them. But the other thing, too, that they remind me of Boston is they get a lot of production out of their blue line. You know, Burns can obviously give you points, and Chatfield had a goal last night. I've been in love with their blue line for a long, long time. I mean, even like, you know, Tony DeAngelo can't crack the lineup. They've got so deep there in what they bring to the table. So Carolina's not going away. So if the Rangers slip up at all, Carolina's playing Washington tonight. So I guess they could be in a tie with the Rangers going into tomorrow, and the Rangers would have that game in hand. But looks like Carolina's going to stick here for a long time, still very much in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them credit. That's a nice win against a playoff team, regardless of how much we think that that Philly has been struggling without Carter Hart and a couple of their defensemen. They still have managed to stay third in the Metro, and that's a game, if you're Carolina, going, hey, this is a team that is behind us in the standings. They may not catch us, but want to put forth a good showing, and they give up the goal late, but they don't let it affect them to the point that they lose the game. I think that's huge. Huge for them, anyway. And like you said, Don, they don't have the Pasternak on their team or the Panarin on their team, but that's why you went out and get Jake Guentzel. That's why you go out and you get take a flyer on Evgeny Kuznetsov. If you're not going to have a 40-goal scorer, let's try and have a couple of 15- to 20-goal scorers. And if they have depth, which I think that they do, they're one of the deeper teams in the league. Brind'Amour is an amazing coach. They have a great defensive system, where if they can get a lead, they're very scary because they don't really give you a whole lot. They're a frustrating team to play in the playoffs. The Rangers have seen it. The Devils saw it last year. They haven't gotten over the hump to get to the Cup, but this is a team, especially with Frederik Andersen in goal, that now has a much better chance of making a deep run in the playoffs.
It looks like Kochenkov is going to go tonight for Carolina,
And
Tony DeAngelo is going to dress.
There you go.
They've got a bunch of forwards. They're going to go with 7 defensemen tonight.
Good for Tony.
No Drury, no Derevainen, no Fast for them tonight, Carolina. So we'll see how that works out. And the other defenseman that I really, really like, I think he was drafted in 2012. He's been with them for a long time, is Jacob Slavin. He's very, very underrated defenseman. All right, what do you say about the Islanders? I mean, they cook now, 5 points back of the Detroit Red Wings. That was a huge game. They hung for a little while. Fisher gave them a one-point lead. Riley comes back to tie it, and then Kopp, Larkin coming back from his injury, then Kopp again, and then Kane, and it's 5-1. The Islanders make it interesting with a couple of goals late, but in a must-win situation, and now they've given it all back. They win six in a row. Now they've lost six in a row, just 1 point in that six-game losing streak. And even though they got a game in hand, Anthony, you know, 5 points back of a playoff spot, still have to leap over Washington in order to get there. Not looking very good for the Islanders.
No, and you forget how good this Red Wings team is when they're full and whole, right, Don? I mean, without Larkin, of course, but what else did you notice? You didn't hear Alex DeBrincat and Patrick Kane's name a whole lot. And then what happened last night? DeBrincat, beautiful feed over to Kane. It looked like they were in Blackhawk red, not Red Wing red, with how they performed last night. Shades back to when they were teammates. The Red Wings are scary, and again, they struggled mightily, and we had that thought of maybe the Capitals could catch Philly or the Capitals can catch the Red Wings. Dylan Larkin's healthy. The Red Wings are a completely different team. They didn't manage to get out of the playoffs as a result of all this. And the Islanders now, I don't know if you saw this, Don, I'm seeing Sorokin get the Shesterkin treatment. Not only from Patrick Waugh, but from the media saying what's going on with Sorokin. This stuff kind of happens. It happens to every goalie. It happens to every team. And if I'm going to place blame on what's going on with the Islanders, Ilya Sorokin's the last place I'm going to look. He may not be his best this year, very similar to the way Shesterkin was in January. And yes, do you want a better performance in a must-win game from your number one goaltender? Sure. And Patrick Waugh said that he thought they played well enough to win last night. Was that a veiled shot at the goaltending? I don't know. He would have to answer that. He was critical a couple of days ago of Sorokin. But if there's anybody that could fix him, let alone, you talk about Benoit Laire for the Rangers, if there's anybody that's best to talk to Ilya Sorokin, it's one of the greatest goaltenders of all time in Patrick Waugh. So I think that they'll figure that out. But yeah, in terms of whether this team is dead or not, look, we deaded them 3 months ago, they came back. 5 points out with a game in hand on Detroit, lost three straight. It's getting harder and harder to envision a way that the Islanders make the playoffs. They're just too inconsistent. This Jet team is tough. The Devils is a rivalry game, and then you have the Panthers. I mean, Don, you can conceivably think they lose all three of those games coming up. So I sit here and say, you know, I can't say for sure. But if I had to put my money on it, and I've kind of been consistent with this, I gave them a little bit of credit when they went on their win streak, said you never know, but I was always leaning towards don't think they're going to make it. I think that there are just some missing pieces on this team, and I think a year in the offseason with Patrick Waugh and Lou Lamoriello, I think this team is going to look a lot different next year. At least it should. Otherwise, fans will not be happy.
Yeah, I mean, change coaches, but there really hasn't, other than acquiring Horvat, there really hasn't been a lot of turnover with this roster, and they just don't score enough, and they don't defend as well as they used to.
Because they lost a lot of those defensemen. Not defensemen, but defensive forwards.
Right, so again, I won't call them done because Detroit's been very inconsistent. You know, I don't know if Washington's good enough. I don't think the Devils are going to be able to pick up ground. But right now, with Detroit having a little bit of a bulge there, playing a little bit better, I'm probably going to lean more towards it being Detroit now that's going to find a way to be able to get into the postseason. So I think it's Friday, so you know what that means.
Don LaGreca's Friday Top 5. Yeah! Number 5.
You know, I'm going to keep it from where I had 5 last week. I'm still got the Nashville Predators in the top 5. I'm sorry, you can't play this well and not be acknowledged for what they've been able to accomplish. Now, they may not be as high up in the standings because of what happened earlier in the year, but right now, tell me a team that's better or playing better than the Nashville Predators right now. And, you know, we were talking about Forsberg with his 38 goals. Doesn't really seem to matter who's in goal for them, and it's just been an amazing run for Nashville. I still have them at 5.
Well, I'm a hack for multiple reasons. One, I don't have Nashville again in my top 5.
I love it.
And it's not a knock on them. I think they're playing great, but I'm also a hack because I have two teams in my number 5 spot because I just can't choose. Don, I can't do it. I'm going with Carolina and Colorado. Carolina, 5-game win streak, 8-2-0. They have the 5th most points in the National Hockey League. Colorado, 9-1-0 in their last 10, 7-game win streak. I can't leave them out either.
I know.
It just speaks to how good the other 4 teams I have are ahead of them. So right now, Carolina, Colorado are number 5 for me.
Number 4.
Yeah, I didn't have the guts to do it, but I... Because
you're a man of integrity.
No, but I like what you did there, but I had to choose between Carolina and Colorado, and I just went with Colorado based on, you know, what they've been able to accomplish over the last 10 games, you know, but Carolina would be right there too. I'm really messing this up, keeping Nashville in the top five, but I just could not ignore them. But, you know, Carolina fans can get upset with me and they'll be back in there, but I'm going to have Colorado for all the reasons you said as number four.
Can you remind me, by the way, who do you have in your preseason Stanley Cup matchup?
Oh, that was a Hurricane Stars.
Okay, so Carolina Hurricanes fans don't get to complain.
Yeah,
I'm dropping the Rangers to four.
Okay.
I know they have the second most points in the National Hockey League, and they're only a point behind the Bruins, who they just beat with a game in hand, 6-3-1 in their last 10. But, you know, the loss to Winnipeg, concerning in the sense of, you know, this is another team, and Steve Alakett mentioned it a couple of post games ago, where the Rangers have played a lot of teams, and now Boston's one of those teams. So they had a win against Boston. And they had a win against Carolina, but then when they played the likes of Florida, they lost. When they played the likes of Winnipeg, they've lost. They played Toronto and lost. So, you know, not while they're playing well, I don't think they're playing at their best at the moment. Last night made me much more confident. It's hard to keep them at four, but again, this is no knock on the Rangers. There's a lot of good teams in this league, and yeah, that's why I have them at number four.
Number three.
Well, I've got the Florida Panthers dropping to three with this three-game losing streak. I mean, they're just tremendous, all the things we talked about. But they've hit a little bit of a hiccup and getting shut out in Nashville, a little bit disconcerting. But still, I mean, they're a top three team. This is all kind of just a semantics game. But I just wanted to honor what's happened lately. And coming off a three-game losing streak and getting shut out, I've dropped the Panthers to three.
Yeah, everything you just said. And I can't put Florida behind the Rangers because Florida had just beaten the Rangers. We'll see what happens on Saturday, tomorrow. We'll see if that changes and the Rangers can leapfrog the Panthers with another win. But they're coming in cold. The Rangers come off a nice win in Boston. But there are two teams in my mind right now playing better than Florida, so they are at three.
Number two.
Well, I mean, I wasn't scared off by what's happened with the Rangers against the Jets.
You're not scared.
And losing to the Lightning and all that. I still have them number two.
Good
because
for you.
You also have to acknowledge that they've lost their captain in Jacob Trouba, had to play the last two games without Ryan Lingren.
Some say that's a benefit. The first part, not the second.
But I understand, and we'll get into the tweets in just a second. But still, I mean, you're, you know, they have to fit in Ruedel. They've been able to fit in Zach Jones. They really have not missed a beat. I mean, Panarin's been terrific.
A nice
for them.
Game yesterday, Ruedel, actually.
Yeah. And they kind of figured out 5-on-5 with the exception of Chris Kreider. He's still now been, I think, as big a problem as Zibanejad was a few weeks ago, 5-on-5. But, you know, still. And the goaltending between Quick and Shesterkin have been terrific. And we should also congratulate Jonathan Quick. He's now tied with Ryan Miller for the most wins by an American-born goaltender at 391.
Pretty amazing.
Puts him in a tie for 15th place overall, which he should break sometime this year the way that he's playing. So, you know, that's why he was able to parlay that into a one-year contract extension. So I put the Rangers at two.
Yeah, Boston for me. In my mind, if you have the most points right now in the National Hockey League this late in the season, you got to be one or you got to be two. And I know the Rangers just beat them, but they're 6-3-1 in their last 10. They've played much, much better. I've actually kept them out of the top five for a while, but I kind of knew that this team was going to figure itself out. Jim Montgomery's a great coach. They may not have as much depth as they did in the last couple of years, but I do think they're still a deep team. Not as many scorers, but a lot of guys that do a lot of good things. Trent Frederick is a big part of that team. You mentioned the kid.
Mm-hmm. Brazo,
yes, thank you. You know, he's been tremendous for them. Jeremy Swayman's a fantastic goaltender. I'm going to have Boston at number two, which means
number one.
Yeah! Well, I'm kind of curious what you're doing because I still went with Boston because they've got the most points.
Sure.
And they've been impressive. I do think there are some mild concerns with them again at the center position, but God, if they were just able to win half of the games in overtime that they've lost, they would be crushing even what they were able to accomplish last year, which is pretty amazing. Which shows you how many close games that they do play. But the goaltending has really been special. So, out of default, I've got Boston at one. So, what says you?
Yeah, let me get Vancouver back in at number one.
Interesting.
I've had them for a long, long time at number one. They've struggled. They're now 6-2-2 in their last 10. They've won two straight. I know that no one's going to be throwing a party for them because they beat Montreal. But I still believe that they're one of the best offenses in the National Hockey League. I think that they're a team that's going to make the Western Conference Final. I think they figured it out. I was a little nervous about that stretch they went on, but if they can find themselves at the right time here, I think that they're as dangerous a team as any to win the cup. I'm going to go with Vancouver at number one.
All right, let's close it out with your tweets. Nicholas says, with the assumption all eight Ranger defensemen are healthy for the playoffs, who is going to be the odd man out with Ruedel? Jones has played so well, there's a chance Gus could be the seventh defenseman come playoff time. I'm not sure. I mean, it all really depends on if everybody is back. So your right defensemen are going to be, you know, where would Ruedel fit if everybody's back healthy?
He kind of doesn't.
He doesn't. Ruedel's kind of the odd man out with everybody healthy because he can't really play the left. So I think you're going to have Jones and Ruedel, I think, are going to be your extra defensemen.
Well, you know, there's Twitter people that would put a traffic cone at the number eight defenseman and Jacob Trouba as the number nine defenseman. So that's also a problem. Yeah, I think it's going to be the six that Laviolette's rolled with. Unless I think he likes Gustafson's versatility. He could play on the power play at the point. He can step up and play with Fox if he absolutely has to, which is nice. Mm-hmm. If somebody is struggling, Zach Jones has shown that he can hang now. I mean, he played a great game against Boston, which is not an easy team to play defense against because of how tough they play. And he's kind of answered the bell here in very limited work, and it speaks to how good he is as a professional to not play as much as other guys and still be fresh and still look like he hasn't lost a step. But yeah, I think it's going to be the six that you've seen. I don't think anything's going to change that. I think the D pairs are going to be what you've seen. I don't think Jacob Trouba is going to drop to the third D pair with Miller. I think it'll be Miller and Trouba. We'll see. And I think that this is a nice test for Laviolette to see, hey, if something isn't working, I can move up Schneider if I have to, or I can change things up a little bit if I absolutely have to. Not having Lindgren and Trouba right now a couple years ago would cripple this team. And at the present moment, it's not. No. And I think that speaks to the defensive mm-hmm. system. I think that speaks to just the overall play of this team on the forwards and on the defensemen and how well they're playing as a group. I think you're going to see the six defensemen that have gotten them here be the six defensemen in the playoffs.
Neil says, how much longer until we say Nashville is a cup contender? Before anybody laughs me off and tells me how stacked the West is, they're hitting from all cylinders right now, arguably the best team in the NHL right now at the moment. They certainly have the goaltending. Listen, could they be Florida from last year where the coaching change kind of brought it all together? Listen, I just think it's too stacked. But, you know, we've seen crazier things happen.
Well,
so
let's play this game, Don. Well, let's play this game, shall we? Let's take a look at the wild card teams right now. Now, I know you're very high on Tampa. So out of the four, and this is the four that are in the playoff picture right now, who would you rank as most likely to be the Florida of this year? Keep in mind, there might not be a Florida of this year. But right. If I had to guess the way that you've been talking, I would say Tampa's number one. You'd right. probably put Nashville ahead of Vegas, and then you'd have the Red Wings as fourth.
Right.
Correct? Yeah. I probably switch it. I probably still have Vegas ahead of Nashville, so I'm probably that hater. And it's not even hate, really. I just think that Vegas has a deeper team. Nashville's playing better. And if they play like this and Vegas is playing the way they are, Nashville has a much better chance of winning a playoff game than a playoff series, I should say, than Vegas does. But I don't think they're cup contenders. It's nice that Barry Trotz has been able to do what he's done with this team in his first year as GM, and that could propel them to better things next year. But I think they could win a series.
Well, they could win a series. And this reminds me, if you go back to the 05-06 season, the Devils, you know, won their last 15 games. I think it was last 11, and they swept the Rangers in the first round for a 15-game winning streak, and then they lost in five games to Carolina. Like, I could see it. I could see being hot carrying you through a series. But here's the thing. There's 12 games left. I mean, so what if they go 6-6 in the final 12? How are you going to feel about them? I mean, they're not going to continue this streak through the last 12 games of the season. At some point, they're going to stub their toe. And then how are you going to feel about them if, say, they lose two of their last three?
That's why I'm still keeping them as my third team in that wild card grouping that I think can make a deep run. I think Tampa's the most likely, and then I think that it's Vegas, just because if they are healthy, Vegas is very scary.
Rillian says, please cover anyone worthy of talking about except the Islanders. There is something deeply and fundamentally wrong with this team. No amount of Anthony hashing are going to figure this out. Those of us deep in can't figure it out. Have a great show, guys. No, it's they're just not talented enough. I mean, you know, not getting enough from Barzell. Horvat can't carry this team. You know, Lee is a very good player. Clutterbuck's a nice player. But when you take a look at the top teams in the National Hockey League, they're deep with skill and speed. And I just think the Islanders are cut from a different cloth. They've got great goaltending, but their goaltender has not been great as of late. They're not the shutdown defensive team they used to be, and they just don't thrill you offensively. They just don't. They're just not good enough offensively. And that's what it really comes down to. You know, I just thought that they played well against the Rangers back on Sunday. They just didn't have, you know, the skill to hang. You know, it just that's just the way that, and their goaltender didn't do a great. I thought the Cooley goal was terrible. You know, no offense to Will, but that's a goal that I think you got to make the save in a big spot. So, you know, he's going into a bad slump at the bad time. And, you know, we'll see if we see more of Varlamov here down the stretch to try to ride him to see if they can't find a way to make the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I think sometimes, Don, we can certainly be wrong. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I think that our initial reaction to this team was the right one. When it started off as bad as it did, and we thought, why are they not moving on from Lane Lambert? And it's just, you know, sometimes the answer is not just the coach. And maybe a different voice did help the Islanders a little bit, but there are fundamental issues with this roster, as the listener said, and it's something that they're not going to be able to address right now. They're going to have to address it in the offseason. I think they will. I think that they now see that there are fundamental flaws with the roster, and they will make some changes. I'm not worried about the goaltender. I think that the defense is a little concerning, because I think Pulak and Pellick have not... They were a shutdown pair at one point, and now both of them have kind of slipped a little bit. I know they've been dealing with injuries, but it's something to keep an eye on for sure. And it's going to take a collective effort to get out of this. And I don't know if Waugh is doing anything more than what he can. He wants to implement a system, and those guys may not be on that roster. And we said it 3-4 months ago. It was nice that they were able to have a little bit of a conversation and keep themselves in the conversation. But no, there's definitely something wrong here. But it doesn't mean we can't talk about them. It's okay. No, we'll break it all down.
And then we're done talking about them. So we'll be back again on Monday. Hopefully we'll reconvene with EJ. So have a great weekend. Want to get in touch with us at Don LaGreca, at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.